And so he never did say anything. He said he'd always regretted not coming forward to corroborate, you know, and report what he'd see. So I called Tracy Torme, the screenwriter on the movie, told him about this. I just thought it would be interesting for, you know, for them to hear from him. And so I went off and was doing these interviews to help promote the movie. And I found out later that they contacted this guy, flew him out to Hollywood, interviewed him there, and then they decided to give him a polygraph test. And so the state police polygraph examiner that had tested the crew was now in private practice, so they went to him and had him tested. And sure enough, he passed the test that he had been there, that he was in military intelligence, that he had seen the glow of the craft and the flash of the beam. But when they questioned him on another test, asking if he had any connection to Philip Glass and the disinformationists, boom, he flunked that one as badly as he passed the first one. So that was very curious. And this happened right before we were to be on Larry King, where you saw him across from us. And that was as close as I ever got to having any sort of contact or communication. I never spoke directly to Philip Glass on that show. He wasn't even in the same studio. They piped him in from another room separate from us. Maybe they had feared some sort of violent reaction, but for whatever reason, he wasn't anywhere near us and didn't speak directly to me and didn't speak. I didn't speak to him either. So he never, in all the time that he wrote parts of several books and dozens of papers that he sent out to the media and all around, never made any attempt to contact me, never called me, never wrote a letter or anything. Very curious when he's putting huge pressure on Mike Rogers, attempting to bribe Steve Pierce. Why are they being harassed by the government and not me? It's just something anybody got any ideas? I don't know. It seems like if they were going to try to trip you up or discredit you, they would try to talk to me and just get me to say anything that he could misquote. And that was one of his favorite tactics, to take something and then twist it around to make it sound like you said something you didn't. So, real curious, but, and it's ongoing. Mike says that to this day, federal officers are harassing him in various ways. A lot of new stuff coming up all the time, digging up, but I'm really interested in hearing from you, because I know you've got a lot of questions, and that'll help kind of hit on some points that I haven't covered yet, because there's a lot of material. So let's hear a question. Well, the question is, did they communicate telepathically? And if they were attempting to communicate telepathically, it was not working, because of my injury, or because of my hysteria and my fear, or maybe that they didn't want to, because it seemed in many ways like they were trying to keep to an absolute minimum the amount that I could learn about them, at least during that conscious period. Maybe I learned more and they weren't worried about that part, because eventually they were able to, that's something I hadn't thought of, If the rest of that memory is blocked, how'd they do that? They must have used some other method to do that. Why once, the other conscious period during those 5 days is totally blocked, so you have to have some method of doing that. But nothing, no two-way communication. It was all one way, me screaming and them not answering. So another question. He's going to bring a microphone out, and so
we're going to bring the microphones out to you when you raise your hand, because we're being covered by live radio tonight. So the audience on the radio would like to hear the questions. So
I have the mic. I'm going to ask two questions, and if you can answer them, did you get a feeling, or do you? Is it your opinion that they were hostile, or did you ever feel like they were in any way friendly to you, or were they trying to do harm, or was it more of a...
Part of my negative impression about my reaction to the little humanoids was the seeming lack of emotion or expression. It wasn't, their faces weren't frozen like a mask or anything, but at the same time, it wasn't friendly and it wasn't hostile. It was just dispassionate. You know, whenever you're around another person and you feel that they're completely indifferent to you, not hostile, but not friendly, we all have a tendency to kind of interpret that as a hostile situation. But all the other things about feeling trapped, claustrophobic, the pain, you know, not being able to breathe, that had more to do with my negative reaction than anything. And the human-looking ones, they never seemed aggressive or hostile in their movements or expressions. Like I said, the expression was more slight annoyance, maybe, you know, a slight smile, you know, but real faint expressions, but nothing that seemed hostile or mean at all. And it's in hindsight that I figure the whole reason they took me was because I was injured, and that was really my fault. You know, I was so resentful about that what happened, and, you know, I called it an abduction because everybody else called it that. It's only in more recent years that rather than abduction, I think maybe we ought to call it an ambulance call. Because when I rose up, that was the point at which my head and chest were closest to the object. And I think that there was some kind of energy field building up. You know, when Mike said it seemed like something was about to happen, I think they were feeling this static electrical feeling building up in the air. And then when I rose up, this energy discharged through me and accidentally caused cardiac arrest or worse, you know, and that then they had to bring me on board to revive me because the nearest hospital was an hour away. And if they had tried that, it'd have been too late. You got 4 to 6 minutes to start the heart or it's permanent. So the fact that I was returned at all, the fact that I was brought to a place where I could get help, all of that suggests that it was kind of more benign than I first thought.
Thank you. The second part of my question, and I'll just I have a family member who had an encounter of the first kind. I think that's what they call it. But would you agree with his opinion that because several people come up missing all the time, that there may be several abductions that are not necessarily, you know, by other people, but maybe through because of these alien beings that are abducting people? What can you say about that?
Well, I'm reluctant to conclude that there's evil intent in being so advanced. I would like to think that by the time we get that far, that we'll be far beyond those kinds of malevolent things. But, you know, even in my area, there's been a number of disappearances, not necessarily known to be connected to, you know, a UFO sighting. But, you know, in one case, a lady that was well known in the community, worked at the post office, just came up missing. Her car was in the driveway, screen door was closed, but the door was open, the TV was on. She was just gone. No sign of a struggle, no sign of a robbery, no sign of anything. She just never was seen again. You know, they had her picture on a billboard there in town for a long time, her picture on the post office. But there was a number of other disappearances. There was one case where a truck driver was driving a load of strawberries in a refrigerated truck, and he drove back up into the forest, and the people there said that he got out and was acting strangely. They said, "What are you doing here with this truckload of stuff back in the woods, you know?" And he says, "They made me do it." But nobody ever figured out who they was, but he was never seen again. There's truck sitting there. His wife said his favorite hat was still in the truck. And, you know, the whole area is, you know, got hikers and hunters that cover every square inch of that ground. And nobody ever saw him again. So what was going on there? Who knows? You know, I need to look into that. But I think that probably in some cases, you know, if they were taken by these beings, it's entirely possible that they may have just volunteered to stay or found it necessary. There may have been some medical condition that they had to stay in order to live. You know, and there might have been sort of a rescue for them. Who knows? But, you know, that's all speculation. I just don't know. My own impression of the beings that I encountered wasn't malevolent. That doesn't guarantee any kind of safety in this situation. It's just my own personal impression.
Yes, sir. Mr. Walton?
Yes.
Since the incident happened, there's been a lot of people who have claimed multiple abductions despite moving around different places in the country. Did you ever have any concern or fear that you might still be of interest to these beings?
I had a lot of fear and concern about that, especially at first, but I've gotten past that.
Mr. Walden, what was your worldview before your encounter with these entities and during, and then how has it changed to now?
Well, that's a huge question, but, you know, I guess I'd have to say my worldview is a lot narrower than it was afterwards. It definitely broadened my perspective about things, our place in the universe. You know, I had to do a lot of thinking to try to come to terms with this, you know. What's going on here? Who's in charge? You know, who are these so-called experts? You know, people that you would think at the top of the authority situation, you know, scientists, people making pronouncements that I know for a fact aren't true. So it really pointed up to me and drove home the idea that I got to do my thinking for myself, you know. And I recommend this to everybody, you know. Do your own thinking. There is no ultimate source of, you know, truth anywhere. You know, you're going to find it in bits and pieces, not any kind of a package deal with anybody.
Hi, I just had a quick question. I was wondering, when you got hit by the laser beam, if you've had any scars from it, or if you had any scars from after the incident.
You know, right after I was returned, you know, they commented on that, the shell-shocked, look I had, you know. People were really struck by the the look in my eyes. But it wasn't due to any real injury. It was just the psychological state I was in. It was just totally, you know, blown away. Kind of PTSD is what they call it now. They didn't have that term back then.
You said that you had a pattern of some sort when they were looking at your eyes, right?
That I had a what?
A pattern when they gave you the test?
Well, the brainwave scan.
Yeah.
Well, let me try to remember just exactly what they said. It was a bisynchronous alternating pattern moving from front to back. What that means, I have no idea. The technician thought it was significant enough to write into the report. That was the anomaly that he pointed out. And that's what I'm going to look into, taking that report to another brain scientist to see what he thinks of it and to have the test repeated to see if it's that pattern's still there.
Do you think you were born with it, or did you receive it when you
got Excellent question. See, you get good ones from these young guys. Nobody's ever asked that. What if it was always there? What if that led them to single me out like Steve thinks, you know? I don't know. That's something that never occurred to me.
Mr. Walton?
Yeah.
Based on your when you said that you saw a touchscreen in the chair in the ship?
Yeah.
On the technology you saw there, is it similar to modern technology we have now, or we're not even close to scratching the surface based on what you witnessed?
Was what similar?
The technology in the ship, similar to the technology we have now today.
Knobs? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like any technology.
Oh, the controls. No, that the handle on there was, it was kind of way too small for my hand, but I could still move it, you know. It seemed like it was like molded for the hand, and that upper part rotated independent from the lever that was supporting it. I don't know what hooked it to it, because it seemed like it could roll independent of the lever itself. But otherwise, you know, the buttons just seemed like lighted buttons. You know, you'd think there'd be something real high tech or something, but like I said, I never touched the screen to see if that moved anything.
I have a question about the diagram you had of the inside of the ship. As you came out of the room where you were challenging the people with something and then went into that corridor, it looks like you began a circle that was counterclockwise.
Right.
Is that how it felt to you?
Yeah, it was curving to my right, and I was traveling clockwise, yeah.
Oh, clockwise, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. Walton, do you feel you were singled out or chosen in any way?
Well, like I said, Alan and Steve think that they were waiting there and that they just wanted me for some reason, but I guess I have a personal bias in preferring to believe it was just a kind of an unexpected thing that happened because I was so impulsive as to get myself too close. I don't know. You know, it's not impossible that they singled me out or had some kind of plan, but, you know, I guess what my personal bias is that if it was just random, something that I caused, then it's less likely to be something that's going to happen again. But I guess it could have been something that they intended for some reason.
After 5 days, were you hungry or had you lost weight?
Yeah, I had quite a bit of weight loss, and I was weighed immediately on the bathroom scales at my mother's house right afterwards. And then when I went in for my medical exam, I brought those scales, and they were compared to the doctor's scale, and they were almost right on. So, you know, the weight loss that I experienced that only took a matter of, you know, a couple of days or, you know, just hours, you know, was restored back to my original weight pretty quickly. Suggests that it had more to do with dehydration than starvation. And I really was very thirsty, drank a lot of water, so whatever they were doing to maintain my condition, I was water deficient when I was returned. There may have been a purpose in that. It might not have been an accident. But for whatever reason, I wasn't starved, but I was dehydrated.
With all the scientific and technological advances that have been made over the years, have you found that in recounting your experience, has it been met with less or more skepticism?
More skepticism from outside about my case?
Right.
I'd say that over time, skepticism has gone down because many of the theories that were thrown out there have been disproven. You know, it's been a long battle, but good solid documentation. In my book, I go and take every single allegation that the skeptics made one by one and demonstrate why it cannot be that way. And, you know, with sources that people can, you know, verify for themselves. So a lot has improved over time. Back then, there was no kind of support group, nowhere to turn. And we didn't know of a single planet outside of the solar system. And now they've got actual evidence, NASA and these telescopes that have put into space, that have identified quite a number of planets outside the solar system to the point where there's so many of them that NASA said this last year that it's now a virtual certainty that there are more planets in the Milky Way than there are stars, and we already know there's billions of stars. So that's a huge leap forward. And if you've got hundreds of thousands or millions of planets and, you know, they can actually establish some kind of a ratio there of how many of those are Earth-like planets, the idea that this Earth-like planet's the only one with any intelligent life on it is just ridiculous at this point, you know? Just common sense tells you we can't be alone, but the people who insist until we absolutely know that there is something from the point of view of scientists, then it's... See, these kind of people think whatever isn't yet proven is the exact equivalent of disproven. And that's just kind of ridiculous, because there are many things that we pretty much take for granted that we can't prove in that absolute sense. Anyway, I digress.
Did you or do you still manifest any side effects since your experience?
No, nothing negative. Maybe some lasting effects, but nothing negative.
Mr. Walton, I have a question for you. If you had a mulligan and an opportunity to do it over again, would you do it? And if so, what would you have done differently?
Well, you know, I used to answer that question with, I'd stay in the truck. That always got a laugh, but, you know, that's what I felt at the time. But now, if there was some way I could find out the really nagging questions and get an answer without drawing any additional attention to myself, or I might take the opportunity, but not necessarily go public about it. Right now, you know, I feel that along with the burden of having had this happen to me, that comes a certain responsibility to try to, you know, turn it into some kind of good. And not certain where that's going to take me, but, you know, for now, I'm at least giving people a perspective on how to look at this situation.
Did the medical examinations reveal or conclude any chemical or neurological anomalies, or such as an organic transmitter?
No, nothing was detected. I had upper body x-rays. The doctor found what he described as a 2-millimeter red spot on the inside of, I think it would be my right arm. And that fueled all this talk about a drug hallucination. Well, people don't inject hallucinogens that I know of. And the doctor said it wasn't over any major blood vessel. And it could have easily been an injury that happened at work. You know, we're working in brush and some of it's got thorns on it. And when the chain on the chainsaw hits it, it'll just, instead of cutting it, it just whips it back at you and it'll poke you. So, you know, it was only 5 days after working in the woods, and it could have happened then because the doctor described it as partially healed. So someone called up and said, well, just get a real powerful magnet and put it over that spot and see what happens. And I did, and I didn't feel anything. And, you know, you can rub that area, and you can't feel anything. So, also, it probably would have showed up in the x-ray that the doctor did, and there was nothing there. So, next question.
I'm sure you've been asked this question several times before, but how did this incident affect your spiritual faith before and afterwards?
Well, I don't think it really changed it. And I get questions about the religious angle a lot. But I've been approached by people from quite a few different religions on both sides of the question, Muslim, Mormon, Catholic. And I've heard both. Oh, this can't be true. This contradicts my religion. Or, yeah, this, I know this is true because this agrees with my religion. So I think people kind of sell God short if they think, you know, because the Bible doesn't specifically mention beings from out there, at least they think it doesn't, that therefore there can't be anything else. But truth is, there's probably about 7 billion different religions on Earth, one for each of us. because what the deal is that people tend to interpret the scripture of their particular religion in a personal sort of way that may not have anything to do with the actual teachings. I've had people say this contradicts my religion; it can't be true, and this one say it confirms it. So. I don't think that it necessarily says anything in that regard. In my own personal belief system. I think that religion is less important than spirituality. Religion being, in my definition, it's kind of an organized, earth-based sort of organization, and spirituality being more about our relationship with those kinds of truths and our understanding of them. So I don't consider myself a religious person, but I think that I am spiritual.
Mr. Walton, I have encountered a lot of things in life also. There's been some twins that I know. Right now they're like in high school. They never did want to see my entity head. I have an extraterrestrial, which is petrified already. And heaven knows how long it's been here, this earth. And I do believe your testimony, because there's been a lot of testimonies brought forward, just because when I tell them they want to see my extraterrestrial head, they kind of like freak out and they don't want to know anything about that. So what's your opinion on things like that?
In regard to
entities.
My opinion in regard to, could you repeat that part of the question, please?
In regard to entities, extraterrestrials.
My opinion in regard to the entities, what opinion? Their intention? Malevolent? What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the people here are people that I believe probably would not be too damaged were the existence of these other beings on these other planets to be openly acknowledged and you know, officially recognized. It wouldn't affect us negatively. You know, that's the reason we're here. But the world at large, I think it would. I mean, look at the wars that are already being made over political and religious and all these different and financial things. All that would be extremely disrupted. You know, people who have millions and billions of dollars at stake, and all that would change and there would be havoc. So it's, you know, the awareness has to come very gradually and we have to adapt as we go along. So for that reason, there may be a similar motive on the part of our governments and on these entities for sort of metering out the amount of evidence that we're getting as time goes on. More and more people are aware of the reality of this gradually, and more and more acknowledgement from various Earth governments. We're going to take two more questions, and then I can answer more questions out there. So whoever's passing the mic, get somebody that we haven't heard from.
Have you gone under any kind of hypnosis to maybe recall those 5 days and what happened to you during those 5 days?
Well, I showed you a picture of Dr. Harder. He performed the hypnosis that happened in the days right after it happened. But that didn't really bring out any new memories. The main thing that was accomplished there was for the first time to allow me to set that fear aside and relate the entire events that I recalled up to that point. Didn't add any memories. It just got rid of the fear. And there was a threat about the danger of trying to push through the block on that other 5 days. And I have been reluctant to pursue that. So I haven't done any further hypnosis after that.
And here's the last question.
Okay. If I may ask, you were gone for 5 days, and in the movie it shows that they did some medical exams, maybe, like they put something in your right ear, then they were doing something to your right eye, and then they put some kind of a probe in your mouth or throat. Do you recall or do you remember any other things that they might have done to you while you were gone?
Well, truth is, I don't recall any of those things actually happening. When I backed up against that shelf and I saw all those instruments, I had some really horrific imaginings about what might have been going on, because at that time I, I thought maybe it was medical experimentation. It's only over the years that I come to realize it might have been more about resuscitation. So, you know, all those fears I had about what they might have done with those instruments were made into the movie, but none of that, you know, was happened while I was conscious. And so I don't know what kind of procedures that were going on. Most likely it was just something done to revive me. So I'll be out to my table here in a bit. If you would like to ask some more questions, I'm all out of posters, but I do have a few books left. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Walton. Thank you very much.
Thank you.